Welcome. We are glad you could join us for the sermon podcast of First Alliance Church. The sermon you are about to hear was delivered on November 10th, 2019, as part of our Global Impact Sunday. The guest speaker was Tim Crouch, who is Vice President in International Ministries of the Alliance.
Hey, I'm glad to be with you. I've been in your town here for a couple of days. It's been a lot of fun to meet different folks and to see what God's doing. I love being here for this particular Sunday and the weekend, really. We had a good time together last night with some of you that were here. And on this Sunday, where our focus is on what's God doing in the whole world, and what in the world does that have to do with us? Does that have to do with me? I'm glad to be one speaking to you. I have the privilege to visit a lot of churches like yours. So listen, I recognize that I may not be the only person that's here for the first time. Some of you might be visiting for the first time. And you may or may not know, even if you've been here a long time, that your church is part of a larger family of churches called the Alliance, or the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And it's in that larger family of our churches and the calling of what we can do together that I serve. And so I'm privileged to be able to travel the world and see a lot of folks, like three families from your church that we heard from last night by video, that are extending your reach around the world, that are in step with what God's doing around the world. And today's a chance for us to ask, what would it look like for me to be more in step with you, Lord, and what you're doing in the world? How would you move me in that direction today? So to do that, we want to think about our world in terms of where we are, and these two words that you see on the screen, regions beyond us. Those words actually come from the scripture that we read this morning. That scripture comes from 2 Corinthians. I've got this thing all upside down and twisted around here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me read it in another version. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. So that's where these two words come from, that across the country this fall in our churches we're using to help us focus on what God would have us do together. So here's what I want to do this morning, is I want to take a look at that scripture. We'll return to it in a little bit. And I want to also have us think about the scripture that was read from John chapter 10, where we heard about Jesus, who's a good shepherd, and we heard about lost sheep. We want to ask four questions this morning. They have to do with what it means to be in step with God in the mission that He has in this world. So let's start. The first question that we want to look at is the question, what is His mission, or what is mission? Sometimes in the church we hear about missions and what we do together. Well, what is that really? To ask that question is to ask the question, what's God up to? Because the answer to that question, I believe, is that His mission is really about His pursuit of people that He loves. I don't know what's on your mind and heart this morning and what's in your life and experience. Some of you might be here, and you might even be newer here, because you're kind of pursuing God. You're kind of asking questions and saying, God, are you really there? And what are you up to, and how can I find you, and can you make a difference in my life? I want you to know that that's a two-way street. Whenever we pursue God, it's because He's pursuing us. He's a pursuing God. That's what He does. That's what He loves to do. So the good news for us as we think about missions and this question, what is that, is that it's His mission, and He's doing it. It's not something that we do for Him. It's something that He calls us to join Him because he's up to it. So how do we know that? Well, there are lots of stories that run through the whole Bible. There are lots of themes that run through the whole Bible that give us this picture of God's heart. So if we look at the Old Testament, we can see sometimes that God's thinking of people that he's pursuing like wayward children. Yeah, children that have gotten out of hand and or grow up, they've grown up and they've moved away from the Father who loves them, and they're lost and he wants to bring them back. You probably know that Jesus pulled this theme together in his story about a prodigal son, a son that ran away, took the riches and blessings of the family, but moved away from the Father, and he discovered, I actually need the Father, and he came home to one who loved him and ran out to meet him. So we see that image. Sometimes we see in the Old Testament an image of spouses that have gotten apart, and one's been unfaithful, and the other one, you know, God is like the spouse that chases after that one and says, I want you back. And one of the most important themes relates to the John chapter 10 scripture that we read this morning, and that is this theme of lost sheep and a good shepherd. That theme actually runs through the whole Bible. I think the first place we read about lost sheep, scattered sheep, is in the book of Numbers, early on in the Old Testament, and then we follow it through. And that theme's used over and over and over again. Let me read to you from Ezekiel, one passage in the Old Testament, where God characterizes himself this way. He says, I myself will search for my sheep, and I'll look after them. Like a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I'll bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I'll bring them to their own land. So we see this image, and then Jesus picks up on that image in Scripture when he's ministering. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told a parable that maybe you remember well. He talked about a shepherd that had 100 sheep. Do you know this story? He says, what if one of you were that shepherd? And you had 100 sheep, and you counted them up and realized one was missing. He said, wouldn't that good shepherd, if he's really good, leave the 99 and go out and look for the one that was lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he'll put it up on his shoulders, and he'll race home, and he'll say to everybody, rejoice with me, I found the lost sheep. And then we get to John chapter 10, and Jesus says, I'm that good shepherd. That's who I am. Now, the reason that we read from John chapter 10 today, and what fits into this question, what's God up to in this world, is that Jesus throws the people listening to him a bit of a curve in chapter 10 when he's using this same familiar theme. They've heard him talk about scattered and lost sheep before. They were the people of Israel who knew the Old Testament. They've heard that theme run through the Old Testament. And now Jesus throws them a curve because in John chapter 10, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. And his listeners are thinking, yeah, we know this story. We've heard that. We are the chosen ones of Israel. We're God's sheep, and we've sometimes gone astray, and he's brought us back. We know this story, Jesus. And then Jesus says in verse 16, what we read today, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too are going to listen to my voice, and then there will be one flock and one shepherd. So Jesus uses this familiar theme to say, you know what? The analogy of lost and scattered sheep is not just about one group of people. And it's not just about how they've been found, but sometimes they get lost again and have to be brought back to the fold. The image of lost sheep is about other sheep, he said, not from this pen. And I wonder what his listeners thought when he said that. What in the world is he talking about? Jesus was beginning to show the true heart of the Father. It's a heart for all peoples of the world. In Matthew 15, there's an interesting interaction that uses this theme about sheep. There was a woman, she's called a Canaanite woman, and she came to speak to Jesus. Now, what it means that she was called Canaanite is, it means that she lived there amongst the people of Israel, but she was not one of them. She was from the people that, when God brought Israel into that land, he told them, these people need to be driven out of here. And they weren't all driven out, and they had descendants, and this lady was one of them. She was not one of the sheep of this pen or this fold. But she comes to Jesus, and she's kind of pestering him because her daughter is suffering. She's sick. She seems to be plagued by an evil spirit. And this lady comes and thinks, Jesus can help my daughter. And so she's asking. She's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And finally, the disciples come up to Jesus and said, you know what? This lady's pestering us. Why don't you send her away? Why did they want to send her away? They'd seen Jesus healing people and delivering people from evil demonic spirits that were plaguing them. But this lady they wanted to get rid of, send her away. Why? Probably because she was an outsider. She wasn't one of our kind. She wasn't one of our sheep. So an interesting interaction begins. She comes and says, Jesus, please help my daughter. She's demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And Jesus answers her, well, I was only sent to lost sheep of Israel. Hard thing. Why did Jesus say that? I think Jesus said that because he could see in her a drive of faith. So she comes and kneels before him. Lord, help me, she said. Jesus said something even harder. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread. There's that other image, right? The children of God. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Oh, man. What a terrible thing. How could Jesus say that to her? I think Jesus said it because he knew what was on her heart. She said this, yes, it is, Lord, that is wrong, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, there it is. There's faith in an outsider. The Father wants to reward. Not only is she a pursuer of God, but God's a pursuer of her. And that woman's daughter was healed. And she became a follower of Jesus. You see, Jesus himself started showing the people of Israel, this isn't just about one kind. The heart of God, the mission of God, is his pursuit of all kinds of people. So when we swing back to that verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about regions beyond, we see that, okay, so the regions beyond are where God's still pursuing people that are not yet in the fold. And it's interesting to me the way Paul talked to the people of Corinth. They were lost sheep, and he was one of the ones that God used to bring good news of Jesus to them. And as they became receivers of that, he says to them now, I want your faith to grow so that we can grow our capacity. We can do more together. Our activity among you will get stronger. Why? So that we can then take the gospel beyond. And that's what happens in this mission. So our first question was, what is this mission? And we've seen that it's God's mission. He's the one doing it. And let me just stop right here and say, for us today, saying, God, how can I join you? This is good news. One thing I want to make very clear in churches like yours when we think about joining God in mission, God's not asking us to go get something done for him. He's getting this done. It's his mission, but he is asking us, would you join me on it? So that leads us to our second question that we want to focus on today. You know what? Before we do that, let me remind you a little bit about the world beyond us. Okay, let's look at some statistics here on this page. This circle in the middle is designed to show that if you take the 7 billion people in our world and think about, okay, so who knows about the Good Shepherd? Who's met him? Those are people that are represented by the green portion of that circle. There's a growing availability of the good news of Jesus amongst a portion of the world's population represented by the yellow. But look at that big red stripe. The red stripe represents nearly half of the inhabitants with whom we share the planet today that don't really have access to the fact that there's a good shepherd that's seeking them, that's pursuing them. Now, if we take that red stripe and play it out across a map of the world and say, where is this going on? It sort of looks like this. There are parts of the world where there's higher degree of access to the gospel. There are parts of the world where there's almost none, and that's represented by the red on this map. And if you know anything about today's world, nobody stays put, right? There are 258 million people today that live in a place other than the country where they were born. So people are moving. So guess what that means? One thing God's doing in our world today is that people from the red parts of the world are moving around where there's opportunity for us to engage them. You might even have new neighbors in your neighborhoods who come from a place and a people where there's little opportunity to hear about Jesus. So Jesus says, would you join me in what I'm doing? Part of that is about receiving those that are coming, and part of that is, would you be those who are going? Because in our world, there's a disparity of access to the good news that we've had the opportunity to hear. What can we do about it? All right, so now let's go to that second question. Then, why missions? And what I mean by this is, why us? Why join in? Why stop on this Sunday in your calendar of the year and say, this matters. There's a role for us. There's a place for us. Why? Why be involved? And the answer to this question is simply this: God pursues new peoples through those he's already found. God loves found sheep to go with him seeking lost sheep. The found seek the lost. Receivers become givers. This is the way it works. This is the way God intends. And because of that, where is that region beyond? Who is in that region beyond is a moving target. It keeps changing because God's at work. And if I was found today, I've got an opportunity to reach another tomorrow. If our people had a chance to hear the good news of Jesus, what a miracle that is. Now we have the opportunity to give that miracle to others. Let me tell you a story that comes from a place called Congo in Africa. There are actually, if you know your geography and your geopolitics today, there are two Congos. Did you know that? In Africa. The Democratic Republic of Congo is a big country geographically. Right beside it's a smaller country called the Republic of Congo, which is probably more democratic than the Democratic Republic of Congo. But that's another story. This story comes from that smaller Congo. In that country for a lot of years, there were people that had gone on mission with God because they believed he had lost sheep he wanted to find in that country. And praise the Lord, many people were found. And through time, churches grew up. And there came a time a few years ago where we began to say, hey, maybe it's time for us to be done serving here. You know, there's more red on the map, more peoples waiting to hear. Maybe we should be moving on. And so some of our missionaries working in the Congo began to move to other locations. One couple in that process said, hey, we don't want to leave. Their names were Jay and Bev. They're good friends of mine. I had known them from years ago. But they said, look, we don't want to leave. And the reason we don't want to leave is there's a people group here. There's a group of people, a culture, a language that's not very well reached. They're called the Vili people. V-I-L-I is the name of this people group. And none of them had become believers in Jesus after all that work in their country. So Jay and Bev said, look, we want to stay here. And not only do we want to stay because these people have need, but we want to stay because we believe we've learned something about them. We've been living among them, and we learned that these are one of those cultures. These people are from one of those cultures in the world where people, you know, they don't really write a lot of stuff down. They're not moved by the written word that much, but you know what they love is stories. And we just don't feel like the stories of Jesus have been heard by them in the way that they cherish and frame their stories. And we believe if we take the opportunity to do that, God can do something here. And so they did. They stayed, and they worked with a team of some local people, and they began, who knew the way the Vili tell their stories, and they began to look at the scriptures for stories that they could tell in those ways. And then they recorded them, and they put them on these little players like that they could take around to villages. And they said, we want to try to share with these people in these ways. So they decided to do a one-week trial of this. They made a bunch of these recordings, and they identified 11 villages where the Vili people live that they could get to in the course of 7 days. And so this team set out to share these stories. The very first village that they went to, as they entered the village, they saw one man sitting under the big tree in the middle of the square, and so they went and they sat down with him. They started a conversation, and in the course of that conversation, they asked if they could share some stories that they believe come from God, and he said yes, and they pushed the button and they played the stories, and as the stories played out, this man began to sit up, and he leaned forward, and his eyes got kind of big, and then tears came to his eyes. And as the recording finished and they spoke to him, they learned that this man was the chief sorcerer in that village. He was the healer, the medicine man, the person to whom everybody came when they were in trouble. When they were sick, they came to him to try to ask for healing. And when they felt that they were plagued by evil spirits, he was the one they were looking to. And he said to them through his tears, all my life it's been my job to try to help people overcome evil. But two things I've not understood is, one, where does this evil come from in the first place? And secondly, how can we get rid of it forever? And that man became the first Vili believer in Jesus that we know of. The very first guy they talked to. Now, I can tell you that, you know, as I work with our missionaries around the world, that doesn't happen that often, where the first person is so responsive. But you know what happened? In the course of that week, they visited all 11 of those villages. They saw 54 people that followed Jesus because they were now hearing about him. He was speaking their language. They were hearing about him in stories the way that they tell stories, and they could grasp it, and they began to respond to his love. That was quite a one-week trial that those folks had. Now, that was 2 years ago. Today, there are about 230 followers of Jesus amongst the Vili people, and they meet in about a dozen groups throughout some of those villages. Now, here's why I tell you this story. Recently, Jay and Bev went back to visit some of those villages, as they do every now and then, and they came to one village, and the people said, wait a minute, before you leave, we've got a question for you. You see, across the lake from us, and there's a very large lake there, across the lake lived this other group of people, and they don't speak our language, but some of us can speak their language. And we've been thinking, they don't know these stories. Nobody's ever shared them in their language, in their way of telling stories. So listen, about 12 of us this year, when we planted our fields, we planted an extra field. And when the harvest comes, we want to harvest that extra field. And we were kind of thinking, could we use the money from that extra harvest and help get these stories into their language so that we can go across the lake and they can hear about Jesus too? Do you think that would be okay? That was the question they asked Jay and Bev. And of course they said that would be okay. And this is why I tell you the story. Look how immediately this new group of believers said, what a miracle that we had a chance to hear this good news, and they turned around and became givers of the same miracle to others. That's what it means to join God in the mission that He's on. Is to be moved by the miracle that I had a chance and want to give that chance to others. And we saw that lived out in this group of Vili believers. And so they've done that now. They've gone across the lake. And I wonder, in the regions beyond that kind of lake in our life, who God would move us to tell. All right. We got two more questions and 10 more minutes. So let's spend them well. Third question I want us to look at is why us? And I put in this question in order to help, if it helps you to know we're not in this alone. God's given us a wonderful opportunity to do this together, to join hands with others He's calling. Frankly, what ties together the family of Alliance churches, the family of churches in this country that has that word Alliance in their name like your church does, frankly, one of the things that really ties us together is our desire to be on mission with God together and a recognition that perhaps that's why God has raised us up as a family. We can do together what we couldn't do separately. And so we want to be a body of people, and we want to be a group of churches. And my goodness, there are five churches that are part of this Alliance family right here in your city. What if we joined hands together and God used us in this city? Because there are people in this city, believe it or not, that are not hearing, at least not in a way they're going to respond. Kind of like the Vili people, they just haven't heard the message in the way that strikes their hearts. And God would give us the opportunity. I encourage you to join. And I know that you do partner with other churches and organizations in your city. But God is also saying, hey, there's a lot to be done in this world. We've been at this for a long time. But there's still a long way to go. That red part of the world is still red. And you know what? If red on that map stands for the least reached and the last to be reached, I want to say there's a reason that least reached are least reached. There's a reason that last reached are last reached. And the answer is that they're hard to reach. It's not as easy to get the gospel there. It will take us working together. And God's given us that opportunity. So I just want you to know the family that you're part of. And if this is new to you, let me just share with you a bit about how we work together in what we call Alliance missions, are joining together with churches around the country to do this. So Alliance missions is focused on these three strategies. We've got to serve communities where there's need, just like Jesus was doing with this poor Canaanite woman and her sick child, her demon-harassed child. We've got to serve communities. We've got to enter in Jesus' name. We've got to be the hands of Jesus. We've got to go with Him in His desire to touch and serve their lives. The second thing the Alliance does in Alliance missions is we try to raise up networks of churches. Why? Well, we just saw that God's honored when receivers become givers. When the lost become found, then He wants to use the found to reach the lost. And we've learned that that happens well when we can join together and do it. So one of our commitments in Alliance missions is not only that we share the good news of Jesus with people like the Vili, but we want to see them have their own family of churches that can become strong together so that they can be used of God. You see, that's what Paul told us in this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we read. He said, our hope is that your faith will grow and our area of activity, or the things we can do together, the capacity that God would develop in us to do more would grow so that we then together can leap to the next group of people that need to hear. This is the way God's mission works. And He's calling us into it. And we can do it better together than if we're trying to do it ourselves. So let me tell you briefly about Alliance missions. We talked today about Alliance missions using four symbols. that really stand for four parts of what we do. And we do that because one of the messages I want to share with you is there are a variety of ways God can use a variety of people like you and me. So let me tell you about these four parts of Alliance Missions. The first one's from the big X. And the big X is one that we stuck right in the middle of the word access. Why did we misspell the word access to name this large group of our missionaries and what they do? Well, we put the X in there because it reminds us that multiplying the opportunity for people of the world to hear the gospel happens best when we multiply churches that can do it together. And the access group of our missionaries, this part of our structure, are the group of people that really major in making sure that networks of churches are developed. That's what this group of people do. And that's our largest group of missionaries. Now, the second group of missionaries that serve in Alliance Mission work with CAMA. The four letters, C-A-M-A, stand for Compassion and Mercy Associates. And so these are people that are equipped to respond to disaster, to minister to people in need of relief, and to work long-term in community development in contexts of chronic poverty and need. And so we have people serving amongst us that major in that, and that often opens the door for people's lives to be changed dramatically, both physically and spiritually. The third group of missionaries that we have, we group under what we call marketplace ministries. And the unique thing about this group of people is we don't create jobs for them. These are people like you, maybe, that have an opportunity to work around the world. More and more from our Alliance churches in this country, there are people whose jobs move them overseas, or who have job skills that they can take overseas and enter into professions in ways where we see the gospel then begin to travel through the workplace. There are 170 people like this from our Alliance churches serving around the world. And the last group in Alliance Missions we call Envision. Envision is a smaller group of people, but here's what they do. They get into major cities of the world. They're reaching out to people in need of Jesus in very creative and new ways. And then they look back to your church and say, why don't you come join us? And so Envision sites are places where a lot of us can go, get our hands dirty, learn about it, see how God could use us. We have a lot of short-term people that go there. We have interns that spend a year or 2 years there. It's a great learning opportunity. And the point of Envision is not only that we make an impact on people in need, but that God impacts our lives. And we realize, wow, here's how he can continue to use me. So just a brief introduction to Alliance Missions, the work that we do together, that your church is part of. Last night, I was able to watch, together with some of you that were here, three videos of greetings back from three of your families that serve out there in Alliance Missions. And I thank you for the way you support them, you care for them, you pray for them, you keep them going. And may God raise up more of them from among you. All right? All right, we got one question left. I'm watching the clock, Pastor Paul. We're doing okay. All right, let's go to the last question. And the last question is, why me? We've looked at what is this mission of God's. We've looked at why does God call us to be involved. We've looked at why us, who are we as a big family. But let's land this today. Very personally, why would God speak to me, and is God speaking to me today? Let me just say that what I've observed is this. The people I've seen respond to God's call to be with him in mission in remarkable ways are people in touch with two miracles. People in touch with two miracles. One is the miracle that I was found by the Good Shepherd. Our hearts are softened to be in step with God in what he's doing when we stay in touch with the fact that it's a miracle that I was given a chance. Let's go back to that red, green, and yellow. Remember that? And the map. Okay? And we were talking about who's had a chance and who hasn't had a chance. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as a group of people on this planet, a culture, or a people of a certain country, or of a certain language group, that always had access to the gospel. No such thing, including our own. We were lost sheep. Somehow, by his good plan, the good shepherd found us. It's a miracle that we had that chance. And God wants you to be in touch with that miracle. But it's dangerous. Because if you're in touch with that miracle, guess what? God's going to open your eyes to the second miracle, and that's the miracle that you could be. So, in our large Alliance family, if we look at this map and the red part of it, I would want to tell you that about 80% of those 740 missionaries, international workers that come from our family of churches, live inside that box that you can see on the map now. Where 80% of those 4,000 groups of people that don't yet have access to the gospel also live. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that 80% of our missionaries are focused where 80% of those unreached peoples live. We want to be in step with what God's doing in this world. His activity, his mission is what opened the miracle of access that we've had. And so now as we round this out, God speaks to us as individuals about the miracle that each one of us could be for people still in the regions beyond. So I don't know if God's going to speak to you today about the here, there, and everywhere offering. An annual chance that your church takes to say, come on, let's get in step with God and do something above and beyond. Or I don't know if God's going to speak to you about those three families and others that have gone out from your church and the way that we're behind them and caring for them and urging them on. I don't know if God's going to ask you to get your arms around some of the other young people in this church that are preparing to serve and to encourage them and to see them move forward. But I do know that it's in moments like these that God speaks to individual hearts, including those of us that might say to him for the first time, I'd be that miracle for someone else if you'd call me. Is that what you're saying to me, Lord? So our band's going to come, and I'm going to pray for you, and then in a little while, Pastor Paul's going to close this time. And it's been fun to be with you and to think about what God's up to in this world, why he wants us to be part of it, to celebrate the fact that we get to do it together in a big family. But in these closing moments, would you make it about your own heart? Would you be listening to God with your own spiritual ears? And more than anything, would you be willing to say yes to what it is he says to you in these moments? Let me pray for you. Thank you for this special Sunday in this church, Lord. And as we close out this time, we do tune our hearts to you. Lord, I'm asking you, along with my brothers and sisters, what would you say to me today? What's your new call? Thank you for the miracle that we've been found. Speak to us about the miracle we can be for others, for the lost sheep in the regions beyond us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening with us today. Here at First Alliance, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us and have access to other Christ-centered messages, please check out faclex.com. That's faclex.com. Grace and peace to you today.